week two into our new series called Rhythm. And last week we talked about just kind of the basics of what this is all about, which is being in rhythm with God, being in rhythm with others, and being in rhythm with yourself is kind of the three things. And rhythm being that invisible quality that holds everything together. You know, the easiest analogy that I used last week as well as today is just, you know, keeping a beat in a band. If one of the members of the band is not on beat and the rhythm's off, sounds totally like junk. And so if the same thing can apply to our life and to our relationship with God, if we're not in rhythm with God, then the song of our life doesn't sound right. But the three areas that we need to look at being in rhythm in, yes, with God, yes, with other people, but also in rhythm with ourselves. So what do I mean by that? I guess let me just sort of tell a little story about myself. When I was like 7 years old, I started playing baseball. I started playing Little League and stuff like that. And my dad was my coach, and my grandpa was my dad's assistant coach, whatever. So up until I was about 12, I played pretty much on the same team with my same friends. And when I got about 12 or 13, I think is when it was, is when you get old enough to try out for the older, for like the better league. You know, there was like, I think it was minor A's, minor B's, and the majors is what they called it. So majors is like where you wanted to be. And you could try out at 12, but like when you were 13 or 14, you were automatically put there because of the age difference. Well, I tried out along with all my other friends, and I was basically the only one of my friends who didn't make it. Everybody else made it, and I got sent back down to, I think it was minor B was the next one. It was almost like being sent back down to the minors for a year, you know, because like you're not good enough, so you need to work on your swing or something. But so I'm down there, and I'm, you know, they stick me in left field, I think, which was weird because I was a shortstop and a pitcher. And I played for this other team with a bunch of younger kids that I didn't even know. And it just totally, like, messed with my mind and messed with everything. And for anybody that really knows me, baseball is my absolute favorite sport. And one of my regrets from high school is that I didn't play baseball in high school. But the reason I didn't is because I totally quit everything that had to do with baseball at that point, because all of my other friends made it to the majors, and I didn't. And the thing I didn't look at was like, dude, next year you'll be playing with them and it's whatever. But I didn't care because I totally, like, my self-worth in terms of baseball, and it actually translated into a lot of different things, really kind of messed with me a little bit. And, you know, so I totally quit baseball, didn't touch a glove till I was about 17, and I started playing church softball again, or started playing church softball for the first time because you had to be 16. But the point of that is all my friends and stuff changed from that point. That really was kind of as weird as that might sound, sort of a weird pivotal point for me, because instead of doing sports and stuff like that, which I probably would have stayed in had I made it with all of my other friends, I would have been on that team. Instead, I sunk myself into art and band and some of the other things. And I don't regret that. I don't regret doing those things. But I love baseball, so there's a part of me that wishes I would have played. But as weird as this might sound, I may not be standing here right now had I made majors in baseball. That's the kind of weird effect it had, because it changed my friends. It changed my path of life a little bit. And it did. It's positive and negative depending on how you want to look at it. But my self-worth at that point kind of went down a little bit. And I wasn't pleased with who I was from the baseball side, so I quit. And I just completely quit and gave up. And it affected a lot of things. And the thing is, the foundation to everything in your life is you. And you're like, duh. But if you really think about that, the foundation to your life is you. And if you're not happy with you, then there's something we need to work on there. Your family, your relationships, the people that you're friends with, everything that you're involved in, think about this. It's not the same without you in it, okay? So if you're not in it, then it's not the same. And there's so many times when you run into people who are just like, I don't even like me. I don't even like me, so I'm just giving up. And you see those kinds of people, and in some ways that's where I was with the baseball thing. I was like, you know what? If I can't even make it to majors with my friends, then forget it. I'm done. And that changed the course of my life. But I'm talking on an even grander scale now. You run into people who don't even like themselves. Anybody know somebody like that? You can just like tell from the way that they act. Yeah, that they just like don't even like themselves. And if we're not in rhythm with ourselves, if we're not trying to keep that rhythm with ourselves, we're never going to be in rhythm with God. Never. So if things aren't lining up there in terms of your rhythm with God and your rhythm with other people, it could be because you're not in rhythm with yourself. If we don't care what's done to us, how are we going to care what's done to other people? Part of being in rhythm with God and being in rhythm with other people means caring about other people, right? How are you going to care about somebody if you don't even care about you? Now, I'm not talking about being like all vain and all like, you know, like that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you don't feel any self-worth at all, you're not going to feel anything for anybody else. If you guys got your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of John all day. Well, all day, but for the next 15 minutes. And book of John, chapter 4. We're going to start with verses 6 and 7. And Jesus meets a woman at a well who, when you really read into the story, she's avoiding other people. She's avoiding everybody else because she had some secrets. So we're going to pick up here in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6 here. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was all alone at this time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? So, I guess just a paraphrase before we keep going here. This was kind of a weird thing that he was talking to her. In fact, it was a very weird thing. And in all reality, culturally speaking, he shouldn't have said a word to her because of the whole Samaritan Jew, I guess, interracial problem that was there. She shouldn't have even been speaking to him and vice versa, which is why she's like, I can't even believe you're talking to me, let alone asking me to get you something to drink. Are you serious? You know, kind of thing. So let's continue on here in verse 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. This well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water and I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Let's keep going. Just a couple more verses here. This is where it gets interesting. Jesus says, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands. And you aren't even married to a man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Jesus literally sat down next to this woman and in a nutshell said, how's life working out for you? Not so good, is it? Kind of thing. Let me offer you a way of life that's better. And not just sort of like what we talked about on Wednesday. Not something that's like going to be better when you die, and it will be, but something that can start now. A kind of life that can start now. Instantly. He was talking about her right now. And in this culture that we're talking about right here, this might sound very familiar because people back then, first impressions were everything, okay? If you had secrets and stuff about your life that maybe you were a little bit embarrassed about, something like that, you definitely kept it a secret. You didn't want anybody to know. You kept it back because first impressions were everything. Does that sound familiar? Sounds very familiar to me. Sounds a lot like right now, if not exactly like right now. When we meet somebody for the first time or somebody comes in or you're walking into school for the first time, you know, the first thing that you want is you want people when they run into you to be like, whoa, you know, that person's awesome, whatever. You know, you want that wow factor as soon as you walk in. And we're really good at hiding. We're really good at hiding some of those things. We're really good at just burying some of those things deep down and not relying on God and not relying on the things that we should be. And that keeps us from being in rhythm in all aspects of our life. Because there's things that we just suppress and we just push back. And we just don't even, we just try not to even think about it, and we try to hide that because we think that the first impression is everything. And it's really not. And unfortunately, what that does is that keeps us from loving ourselves. That keeps us from seeing any self-worth in ourselves. God doesn't make junk. Never has, never will. Nobody in here is considered junk in God's eyes. To be in rhythm with yourself means to love yourself. And if you're not in rhythm with yourself and you don't find any self-worth, then the problem becomes you begin to not love God. Because you're not seeing, God created you. He loves you. He loves every single person in here. He loves every single person on this planet. If you find no self-worth in what God created, how are you going to be in rhythm with him? How do you think that the song of your life is going to sound if you're not even willing to pick up the instrument? Does that make sense? Let's continue on here in John. Move to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. They talked a little more, Jesus and this woman. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or, why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. We can try to hide it from other people, but we can't hide from God as much as we might try. We all try to put on this mask, especially when you walk into high school. I know everybody feels like you have to. But we can't hide from God. God knows the real you. And somewhere, you know the real you. The problem is we try to suppress that too much. Sometimes we try to push that down and push that away. But God doesn't run away. God doesn't run away from you. He loves you just as you are. And until you can become happy with who you are and happy with who God's made you to be, some of this other stuff in terms of the song of your life not making sense and things not being in rhythm, this is a part of it. This is a part of it. This is a big part of it. If you don't like who God created you to be, how do you expect anything in your life to start to make sense? So our connection point for the day is simply this. Do you like you? Do you like you? Are you in rhythm with yourself? Which in turn will help you to be in better rhythm with God.